Well, welcome again to Crosspoint Life on Mother's Day. This has been a really, really special journey that I think Pastor Danny and I have gone on together. And I think we didn't talk about this, but I'm going to share a little background. I think it was over a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago. I think you were really wrecked in church. And I was feeling something. And she shared a dream that she had with me. And I was like, that's really weird, because she told me what time it was, and at the same time in the morning, I was having a really strange dream too, and they were both what I would call a spiritual warfare dream, and they weren't identical dreams, but they were very similar, enough similar that we were like, okay, we need to process this a little bit, and then we both felt like this mother heart thing going on. And so we said, we need to dive into this more. And we both thought there was something for Mother's Day. So this is today a culmination of many talks, discussions. I don't know, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. It's been really good. I think for both of us, probably there's been some healing that's taken place during this. And, you know, every time you say out loud things that happen to you, do you know it gives less power over your life? It does. It takes away any power that that thing had over you from the past. So let's get into this. Am I right here? Okay, we are going to start out with something a little bit fun. This is kind of like, would you rather? So all of you have been given these when you walked in the door. And I'm going to have Pastor Danny explain this real fast. You have a microphone. Okay.
So if you weren't, raise your hand, and ushers will make sure that you get them. Maybe we can have people jump up and do that real quick for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to read statements. And if you agree more with the first statement, you get to lift up your pink card. And if you agree more with the second statement, you get to lift up your green card. Okay? So they are coming quickly with the cards. And
so that was the first one, is the pink, and the second one is green.
Yeah. And you know, if you're sitting next to somebody who has their hand raised and you have them, feel free to rip them and give half to the person next to you. And this is when everybody gets to participate in, not just the ladies. If we ran out and you don't have pink, just wave at us for pink. Okay? Just wave at us. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started.
Okay, which statement do you agree with more? I would love to have a personal chef, or I would love to have a maid?
Both.
Wow. Well,
it's
wait.
Not an option. Make a decision.
Well, I need both, actually. Anyone who's been to my house knows that. I hate to cook, and I don't have time to clean it like I'd like. That's a whole other story.
Which statement do you agree with more? The worst is when I have to clean up after my child throws up in a car seat. Or the worst is when I have to clean up after my child throws up in the bed.
Ooh, definitely car seat. There are cracks and crevices in car seats. That was number one, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. Which would be worse? Oh, yeah, I wish my husband was here for this one, too, because when your child does this, it's one thing, but when your husband does it, it's another thing, but also the second part of this. Child spills a bottle of paint on the carpet. Or child spills a container of glitter on the carpet. Is Darcy Van Atta in here? Are you here, Darcy? Okay, listen to this. I read this to Pastor Barry. I go, hey, this is funny. Pastor Danny put this in here. Which one, babe? The bottle of paint or the glitter? Do you know what he said? You will be shocked. He said glitter because it vacuums up. And I was like, what? That is your whole point in us not having glitter at church, is it doesn't vacuum up. But
I love that you called him out on that while he's on his way to another continent. Every children's worker in here, take note.
And for your information, my husband spilled an entire container of paint in our house on the carpet and on our TV stand several years ago. He was painting late at night, like on a Saturday night. We had church in the morning, so we had to get our carpet cleaner out and try to clean out all the paint. Ruined our carpet cleaner. Anywho, I was shocked by his response.
Would you rather protect your children from ever experiencing harm or suffering, or know that your children be empowered and equipped to overcome every situation they experience?
Yeah.
You know, we asked that question to students at Reach Academy, and Reach is a continuation school where the kids have just come from horrific circumstances, and they have, most of them either live in group homes or foster homes, and every one of them chose to be empowered and equipped to overcome.
That's good.
Yeah.
Would you rather have your child cry all day but sleep through the night, or be happy all day and cry all night? Have your child cry all day but sleep through the night, or be happy all day but cry all night? I can't imagine anyone's saying, you have a green one up back there. Wow.
Okay, which statement do you agree with more? My nightmare is my whole family getting lice, or my nightmare is my whole family getting the stomach flu? Y'all feel very firmly one way or the other. Whichever one, there's no mediocre here. Whichever one you're holding up, you all feel very firmly in that one.
That's interesting that there's more discussion around that than any other so far.
Because everybody's traumatized.
Yeah.
No one's ever had lice or the stomach flu. I'm really sorry.
I feel like I'm leaning over. Okay, which statement do you agree with more? I feel like I have had amazing role models to guide me in life. Or, I feel like there is a lot I have to learn and figure out on my own. There's a lot I've had to figure out on my own. So number one is I've had amazing role models. Number two, I've had to figure out things pretty much by myself.
I wonder how many you guys are cheating anyways and holding up both colors. Right? Okay. Which statement do you agree with more? I love celebrating Mother's Day, or Mother's Day is sometimes a pretty hard day to celebrate? I would be both. I would be both.
Which statement do you agree with more? I am brave, or I am bruised?
Okay. We wanted to tell you about a few people in history that and you decide whether they were brave or whether they were bruised. And the first one we're going to talk about is Helen Keller. And I'm sure you guys all know the story. She was born, and then as very young, she experienced a sickness that left her deaf and blind. But she ended up being an incredible author, traveled, outspoken, campaigned for the women to have the right to vote and labor rights and other causes. She was... sorry, typos. She was one of 12 of the inaugural inductees into the Alabama Writers Hall of Fame. And she proved to the world that deaf people could learn to communicate and that they could survive in a hearing world. Brave or bruised?
She's definitely brave.
I love the discussion.
Was Claudette Colvin brave or bruised? Colvin was born in 1939. Let's see. Oh, okay, sorry. Had to remember this portion of the story. I love this story, though. Her father mowed lawns and her mother worked as a maid. In March 1955, she was told to give her seat up to a white woman. She refused. She was forcibly removed from the bus and arrested by two policemen. This event took place 9 months before NAACP Secretary Rosa Parks was famously arrested for the same offense. Claudette Colvin had done the same thing. She was 16 when it happened, I believe. My mother told me to be quiet about what I did. She told me to just let Rosa be the one. White people aren't going to bother Rosa, like they like her. So a 16-year-old girl did the same thing, but she was afraid to let anyone know.
Brave or bruised?
Both.
Sybil Blunnington. On the night of April 26, 1777, at the age of 16, she rode to alert militia forces in the villages of Putnam County, New York, and Danbury, Connecticut, to the approach of the British regular forces. The ride was similar to those performed by people like Paul Revere and others, but she rode twice the distance of Paul Revere and was yet much, much younger than the men, and yet her story is hardly ever told. Brave or bruised?
Was Queen Esther brave or bruised? Her parents died. She had to risk her own life before going to the king, uninvited, and she saved her people. She was definitely brave.
So actually, we think that every brave woman was bruised. Bravery is an optional response to and a result from our bruises.
We probably all have been bruised in some way, and it's caused us to be who we are today. And I'm going to just share a few stories from my own life where I felt like I had been bruised. When I was young, I know there were many times I would have nightmares or I'd feel like there was an evil presence, but I always knew. My parents raised me to know that if you say the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. So I remember as a little girl being in my bedroom, I shared a bed with my older sister, and I would be in bed just praying and praying and saying the name of Jesus over and over and over because I knew that demons would have to flee. So I'm going to start with that. Starting with probably when I was in kindergarten, the girl across the street from me, which I've shared this story many times, started bullying me. I didn't recognize it as bullying until I was much older. I probably never called it bullying. But now that there's so much out there on the news and in the media about bullying, I'm like, wow, that was my entire upbringing. I don't remember when we were really little because we lived across the street from each other pretty much since birth. But when we got to school, there were new people, new experiences. She would put me down all the time. If I got a new toy, she had to have the same toy or a better one. If I got a new bike, she got the same bike or the same color bike, but of course hers would be better. If I got new clothes, she got new clothes and they'd be better. She'd make fun of me because of what I wore. She'd make fun of me because I was this, because I was that, just about anything. And my parents didn't encourage the friendship. They saw what was going on, and they would try to get me to hang out with other people. And I tried, and I was a little bit shy because I was so insecure. And I would get a new friend, they'd come to my house, and that very week she would have them over at her house and they'd be out in the front and she'd be talking about me and laughing at me and mocking me. And this went on until I was in high school. And my sophomore year in high school, her mom was driving me and two other girls to school every morning. And she was like, I have a Suburban, we'll just take all the kids, it's not a big deal, we all live near each other. Well, we were all really late one day and we tried calling and knocking on the door and no one answered. So we went, we've got to get to school, we're not going to be late. And it was like this fury came. We were all in trouble because we wouldn't, you know, wait for them and we were all going to be late to school. Well, that was a changing point in my life. That day we decided we're not going to wait for her. We are going to walk to school if we need to, or one of our parents will give us a ride. And it changed something in my life. I started becoming friends with a different group of people that we were all kind of going, we were victims here, but didn't realize the depth of that until much later, after I was married probably. Some of it happened while I was dating my husband. He would say, you know, he thought these great things about me. You're beautiful, you're this, you're that. And I couldn't receive it very well because I'd heard for so many years from one person how I was just the opposite of all that. And it's amazing how one person can make an impact on your life like that, because my parents weren't saying those things. My parents were always encouraging me. To this day, my parents are like, you know, my kids are the best. My kids are the most this, that, da, da, da. My parents love me and they believe the best in me. And my dad still thinks I'm his little girl. And I love that. I think it's pretty awesome. I don't think my kids like that I am that way when my parents come around. And probably my husband, he's like, you change when your mom and dad are here. Because I'm the baby. Back on track. So my parents did try to build me up. They did try to encourage me, but I wasn't receiving it. And so it took a long time for that to change for me. I would go to church camp, and everybody at church camp would make fun of me. And that should have been a safe place, right? I'd go to Sunday school, and it's making me emotional thinking about it right now. Go to Sunday school. It should be safe in Sunday school. And almost every week, I was the person that was made fun of. I would tell my mom before church, I don't want to go to Sunday school today. And she goes, you're going. And I'm so thankful that my mom said, you're still going. We're better than that. Because it caused me to become a fighter. Maybe not on the outside to some of you, but on the inside, I was like, I'm going to do this. I can make it. I can go in there. And I knew that each time I went, I'd be made fun of. It just kept happening. So as I got older and people actually liked me, I was surprised. When I was a sophomore in high school, starting to hang out with different people and our youth group changing a little bit, I started developing my own personality. But there was that root that hadn't been healed yet. So there was a part of me that I could laugh and I could be fun and have a good time, and people thought I was sweet or cute or whatever. And I became a better person, I think, but still I hurt. And there were many times I was lonely and I would just pray and I'd say, God, how come I'm so lonely? How come I can't have one really close friend? Why am I so lonely? And even when I was in high school, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, you have a call on your life and there's gonna be many times when you're lonely and I'm just preparing you now. And that was true, it was very true. So then my husband and I became youth pastors, and I'm sure I could give you a lot more examples than what I'm gonna give you right now, because we all have our junk. But when we were serving at a church in the Bay Area in the Silicon Valley, and my kids were probably about 2 and 3 at the time, maybe, no, probably 3 and 4. I think Lacey was in either preschool or kindergarten. We had, I'd gotten a job at our Christian school, which was awesome. I got to be right there with the kids. My husband was on the same campus. And everyone that worked there had their own voicemail messages. And this was kind of at the beginning of this. So this is how many years ago? Like now everybody has a voicemail. You have your own voicemail on your cell phone. You've got it on your everything. So that's not unusual for some of you now. But back then it was kind of cutting edge. So I pick up my phone one day and there is this strange message from what I can tell is a teenage boy, and it was lewd. And I went, oh, I'm going to to delete that right now. And I was like, oh, that's just disgusting. And it was just, it grossed me out. I mentioned it to my coworker and didn't really think a whole lot of it. I think I mentioned it to my husband. Turned out I got two more phone calls just like that, but worse, much worse. And found out two other people on the campus had gotten the same kind of phone calls. One of them was much worse. Her third phone call said, I'm gonna rape you. So now it became an issue with the authorities. And so this teenage boy that I knew, he was coming to our youth group, ended up not, they didn't incarcerate him or anything. There wasn't like, we didn't press charges, but they did report it. He had to go to counseling. And I can't remember how much longer after he started counseling this happened, but the counselor called me up and said, would you be willing to come in to an appointment with this young man and let him know how you felt when you received those messages? Well, being very honest with you, some of the things that he said to me had to do with my marriage with my husband and me in our intimacy. And I had to go into this counseling appointment and tell this young man how I felt when he said these vulgar things to me. I felt very brave when I did that. That was really hard. And I did it, and I even allowed that boy to come back to our youth group. That was a very brave moment for me. Maybe for some of you, that's not a big deal, but it was for me. I had to be very vulnerable. And when people are talking about things that have to do with you, goodness gracious, I want to say this right, but sexually, and it's someone half your age, someone in your youth group, that is a very, very uncomfortable thing. But I did it. And one of the other women did it. The one who he said he was going to rape her, her husband wouldn't allow her to go and confront him, and she didn't want to. She said, that's just too much. And he was one of her students at the high school. That was a difficult thing for me. Then we'll just skip ahead. We came to Cross Point Life Church, which was La Mesa First Assembly of God, in August 2001. What a great year 2001 was. It was amazing. God was doing some great things at La Mesa First Assembly of God Church. People were falling out under the power of the Holy Spirit. We were having some amazing services. My husband was inviting in some of his friends like Sean Smith to come and speak and then prophesy, and just had some great, great times. And some people didn't like that. They didn't like the way things were changing and that church was looking a little bit different than it used to. And so they started stirring things up. And there was one Sunday, I was standing up here in the worship team, and I must have been probably about right here. And I could see the lights were all on fully. And I could see one of our leaders that didn't like my husband walk in the back with another man who didn't like my husband. And they came down over here and grabbed someone and took them into the back room. And I knew that they were gossiping about us, because every week we were hearing reports about people going in the back in the lobby, and we would hear what they were saying about us. And this particular Sunday, I was just fed up. I was like, they're not going to do this. They're not going to take this church, and they're not going to continue to gossip and destroy what's going on here. So I walked off the platform, and I went in the back, and I started marching back and forth. Really, okay, well, I wasn't marching, because this is marching. I was in the marching band. I do not know how to march. I was pacing back and forth, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I was going, God, just stop this. In the name of Jesus, I just declare blah, 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 blah. And God, I pray that you'd shut the mouths of those people that are lying, and those people that are manipulating, and those people that are trying to cause strife in this place. And I just kept praying in the Spirit, and I was really brave at that moment. I have never done that before that. That was my first time to do that. I can pray on my knees, I can pray wherever, but that was my first time to just get up from here and go to the back, and I'm like, I'm fighting for this. And it was kind of funny, because it actually got brought up to our section with the Assemblies of God. It got brought up to them that I was doing that. It made people uncomfortable. Is that funny? They were uncomfortable. I feel like over the years, God showed me through this, through our dialogues, that every time that I felt like I was bruised, I went to my prayer closet, I went on my knees, and I prayed and I fought. And not everybody knew what I was doing. My parents probably had no idea. But I'd be up in my bedroom and I'd be crying and praying about certain things. That's what I did when I was bruised. And I'm thankful that that was how I fought.
We're pretty thankful that that's how you fought too. Right? Like, yeah. If she hadn't, and if she hadn't been willing to come to a church that was supposed to be safe but wasn't, this place wouldn't look like what it looks like. We wouldn't all be here. It wouldn't be Cross Point. We wouldn't have our senior leaders. It wouldn't be what it is now. And to think that, unfortunately for you, that wasn't the first time that church didn't feel safe, but you fought through it when you were young, fought through it now. I wonder some of the things that our kids are fighting through, how God's going to use that.
Yeah. May I add one last piece to that? I forgot to add this because I feel like this is important. When we went through something a few years ago and I was bruised, my husband was bruised, I sat in a meeting where someone tried to defame Danny. And I was sitting right next to her, and I remember looking over at her going, I can't believe that they just said that about you. I was in shock. Not only was Pastor Danny treated this way, all of my kids were spoken poorly of. Other leaders in this church were spoken poorly of. And I felt like, again, okay, I'm not going to let this defeat me. I'm going to go and pray. And there were times that I would come to the church and I would pray. And I remember one night specifically, I want to say the night before you had called my husband and we were laying in bed and I could hear part of the phone. All I could hear was you crying, Danny. And I said, I'm not going to let this person win this thing. God is in charge here. If he wants us to leave, that's one thing. But God is in charge. This can't keep going on. So the next night, I determined I was going to come down to this church and I was going to pray. And I called a couple of my personal intercessors, and they came down here. And we just started praying over the church. And we covered each part of the balcony. And I remember us singing, let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let your glory come down. And just declaring over this house, God, it's you who's in charge here. And it's your glory we're here fighting for. It's nothing else. We don't want to be famous. It's not all about us. We want your glory in this place, and we want to reach a community. So we fought for this house. And it wasn't just me. It was a lot of intercessors in this place that fought. But that's what we do, right? When times get rough like that, when your friends are being spoken of poorly, when your kids are being spoken about like that, you start fighting, right? You got to get on your knees. So I'm sorry, I just had to add that.
To not trip like I almost did last time. I don't think we get to go through this world without being bruised in some ways. And we can all think back into different ways where people didn't treat us the way that they should have treated us. And where maybe we were hurt in ways that we didn't understand at the time. And as I was thinking about what I wanted to share, the theme for me of where I feel like I had the most that I needed to be able to process through was in terms of expectations. So I've shared on several occasions that my mom had very firm expectations of what she thought we were supposed to be like as kids. Even very young, I remember my dad was in the military and we would be at a base and she'd make friends with some of the other young moms that were over there. And we would go over and be expected to just kind of sit for hours while she talked with her friends. Not say anything, just sit, just be there. Now that I'm a mom and I've had girls and now I have a boy, I understand how completely unrealistic that is, right? But I felt growing up the expectations that were unrealistic, that were unimposed by God in my life and unwanted by me in my life. My brother chose to walk away from the Lord for a season, and how he interacted with my parents reflected that. And I was a teenage girl who occasionally, now this is going to shock you, occasionally could have an attitude. Occasionally. And I remember at times standing up, what I thought was standing up for myself as best I could at the time, and being told that, you know, if I wanted that type of an attitude, she could get it from my brother, that I wasn't the one that was supposed to behave that way. I remember sharing times when I had overcome some temptation that I thought was so good, and being told that I never should have had that temptation in the first place. Just the idea that there were these expectations. My mom was very religious in the ways that aren't good and very controlling. And things, whether they were personal convictions of mine or not, it didn't matter. There were just things you didn't do because, you know, God didn't want you to. And if you did it, it didn't reflect well on her, which made it challenging. I can remember when the movie The Passion of the Christ came out, and I went to go see it and didn't tell my mom that I was going to go see it, which is reasonable considering I was in my 20s, I was married, I was a mom, I owned a house, I had a doctorate degree. Like, I was a full-fledged adult, and I didn't have to tell my mom if I was going to go see The Passion of the Christ, right? Well, she found out. I don't know how. And she called me, whole state away, 14 hours away, and she called me, and she's like, tell me you didn't go see that movie. And I'm like, I went to go see that movie. I didn't raise you to watch R-rated movies. Okay, so listen. Like, the reason why I don't see R-rated movies really didn't apply to that movie. But it gave you an indication, right? That there were rules, and the rules were rules, and there were not exceptions. And I remember telling her that I wanted to be an attorney. She loved that. So forever, she would tell her friends that we were going to law school, and we were going to do this, and we were going to do that. And it was all great, because I went to law school. She was proud, graduated, passed the bar, I was working as an attorney. Then I started to have kids, and I wanted to be home with my kids. I wanted to be the one to pick my kids up from school, and I didn't know how to try some big case if I had a sick baby at home and wanted to be home with my sick baby. And so the decision to go into ministry wasn't something that was at all accepted. Still isn't at all accepted. And so all of the things that God opens doors for, and all the things that I can do in ministry and with City Hope and in our community, just doesn't even begin to hit the radar of what would make my mom proud of me. I don't think that there's a whole lot in my life right now and how we're navigating it that she would be super proud of. And so for me, recognizing that there were expectations put on me, every time I didn't meet those expectations, I felt it. Every time I didn't meet an expectation, and they were there, and so I began to internalize them. I began to put the expectations on myself, right? On what life needed to look like and what I needed to be able to be, what I wanted to be as a mom, and what a good mom looked like, and what I wanted to be in different areas of my life and what that looked like. I began to put all of these expectations on me. I had to get to the point where I started to have grace for myself. I had to get to the point where I started to recognize and learn to hear my own voice and God's voice, right? I was told from an early age how I would feel about things, what I would want, what I wouldn't want, what I would like, what I wouldn't like. It was, and it sounds silly, but it was amazing when I discovered that I love to bake. I like to cook. I don't have much time for it, but I like to. Really love to bake. And that wasn't anything that was going to be approved of in my house growing up. But I love to do it. And when I started learning that that's okay. It's okay for me to love to do something that wasn't expected or that wasn't supported or wasn't encouraged. I don't need to meet anybody else's expectations or my own to be enough. You don't need to meet anybody else's expectations to be enough. I've worked in male-dominated industries my whole life. 18, I had my real estate license and was selling real estate and was good at it and trying to interact with men that were probably twice my age who thought they knew how to do it and kept telling me how wrong I was until I pointed out in the contract where I was right. I didn't need to meet their expectations. You don't have to meet anybody else's expectations to be enough. The expectations you put on yourself, you don't have to meet them to be enough. One of the nights where Candy and I met to talk, I walked in and almost immediately she's like, I just feel like I gotta tell you, you're enough. You're enough. You're enough. You're enough. You're enough. We get expectations, it sets a bar, it sets a standard. And so often we don't meet that, and all we focus on is this, right? All we focus on is what's lacking, which means we didn't focus on what was there, right? We don't focus on the good things, we just focus on what we think is lacking. The times in my life, well, let me back up. I started to really learn to recognize my own voice and to recognize what Holy Spirit sounds like when he's talking to me. And it no longer sounds like my mom's voice. It no longer sounds like anybody else's voice. It is Holy Spirit speaking right to me, and that's all that matters. And yet there's times when I still don't feel like I'm enough. Usually, that's when I'm doing something God hasn't asked me to do. It's hard to feel like you're enough when you're doing something that God hasn't given you the grace for and hasn't asked you to do it. Or I won't feel like I'm enough when I'm trying to do something more than what God's told me to do. Maybe he's telling me to take 3 steps in a particular situation and I'm convinced I'm just going to solve the whole thing. And sometimes when I don't feel like I'm enough, I'm trying to do something that God's called me to, but not for this season. We get words sometimes and we think, oh, that's for right now. Sometimes. And sometimes it's not. There's lots of things I want to do in my life. If I try to do them all in this season, I don't feel like I'm enough. We have to recognize the season that's in what God's breathing on. I was thinking about the story of Mary and Martha. So get your cards back out. How many of you are like Mary, and how many of you are like Martha? You either put them away or nobody's confessing nothing this morning. Mary? Martha?
Both?
Yeah.
So in Luke, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So first, notice, it was Martha that opened her home, right? Martha was the one. So Martha's the busy one, right? She's got all kinds of things to do. She's the one that opened her home to Jesus to provide this setting for him to be able to come in. And so Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Okay, so here's what I see in reading this. Jesus wasn't complaining about anything.
right? He was there in the house. Mary was there at his feet. Martha was taking care of all kinds of preparations. It doesn't say that Jesus spoke out first and said, "Hey, Martha, why don't you just come sit and be with me?" Right? Who spoke out first? It was Martha. It was Martha. Martha's the one that created the situation. Martha's the one that invited Jesus, that opened up her home. So she opens up the home knowing how she likes to entertain guests. And he comes and she's busy with her own choices. Jesus didn't have an issue until Martha started putting her expectations on Mary. Until Martha was like, "Hey, I chose to do this and all of these things have to happen and now you have to help me." And pointed out to Jesus, "Don't you care? Don't you care that she's not doing anything? She's not helping me?" That's when Jesus had an issue. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but very few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." No, Martha, I'm not going to make Mary do the things that you do. I'm going to let Mary be Mary. And I think he would have let Martha be Martha if Martha hadn't put his expectations, her expectations on Mary. I'm learning how to be Mary. I'm learning how to not worry about other people's expectations. I'm learning how to not listen when people say you need to do this, or it needs to look like this, or it should be like this. I'm learning to recount in my own life the times that I've stood up and I haven't listened when people said that, and I'm thankful. I had somebody very close to me that I really respect a lot make a comment early on about how we were raising our daughters. And it was that this person didn't understand why we would let them have a voice in the things that they do and speak to things and help decide things, and just didn't think it was right. Years later, this person, as we were driving in a car, said, "I get it." He goes, I get it now. He goes, I love that you work things out with your kids and that you guys talk and that your family does things and it's a unit. And that they'll talk and help decide and that you listen. He saw it. He saw why what we did worked. I'm thankful that I didn't change to try to please somebody else. I'm learning that whether I meet my own expectations or anybody else's, I'm enough. Without going into huge detail, our dreams on the same night, Candy was in a position where she needed to go and she needed to war. She needed to go to prayer and she needed to war in order to protect and to know that everybody was safe. And in my dream, I was overlooking a cliff and it was at a church picnic. We had been down in the water and we walked up to this cliff and we were out looking over this cliff, and all of a sudden I noticed on either side that there was fencing and that this one part right where I was, the fencing was missing. And as I realized, that probably meant that we weren't supposed to be as close to the edge as we were. And so I turned and I looked back and there were people from the church coming with the missing piece of fence to just put the fence there. And we felt like it was saying that we war in different ways and in different times and in different seasons. But we war. We're warriors. And sometimes we get stopped because we've been bruised. My personal opinion is I think when God puts something on us supernaturally at a young age, it's supernatural. And he can see it, and the evil one can see it too. And the evil one comes and tries to steal it away. That's where we get bruised. But when we say, "Nuh-uh," we're digging in, and we're doing what we're designed to do, and we're answering that call, that's when we get brave. Because Candy was brave. Our church looks like what it looks like. because I've been brave. We're doing things, and my family looks like what it looks like, and we're doing things in the community that looks like it. Our bravery affects other people. Listen, I don't want to be the Martha that's bruising all the Marys out there. Did you guys get that? I don't want to be the Martha that's bruising the Marys. We can't put our expectations on other people. Mother's Day's hard for me because I have this picture of what it's supposed to look like between my mom and I, and it doesn't look that way. I now have expectations that I don't feel like she always meets. So I'm now the one looking at what's lacking instead of being grateful that my mom raised me to know Jesus and my mom prays for me and my kids every day, and that I honestly believe if I really needed something, she'd come help me. Do you see how there's a lot to be thankful for? We get rid of the expectations. If I'm going to give myself grace, I give her grace. We give ourselves grace and we give others grace. We may be bruised, but we're brave. Women, we get bruised in lots of different ways, but that just adds to our bravery.